Hello and welcome to Resource Report, where we share with you important information about local nonprofits and resource organizations that support the community we share, produced by Pathways to Agency.
I am your host, Rainmaker. Today's featured organization is GRUB, Garden Raised Bounty. I sat with Veterans Program Manager Jenna Kemp in the GRUB farmhouse to find out all there is to know about it. Here's Jenna.
I am here at GRUB, and GRUB is Garden Raised Bounty, and the U in GRUB.
We just say there would be no GRUB without you.
That's right.
It doesn't actually stand for anything.
Yeah. and I'm here with Jenna, Jenna Kemp. And would you like to introduce yourself, Jenna? How did you come to GRUB and what is your position here?
Yeah, sure. My name is Jenna Kemp, and I started here at GRUB in 2019, like in January 2019, and I am currently the manager of the Veterans Program here at GRUB. It's one of our newer programs. When I started here, I actually started in our garden program, building the backyard gardens that we do, and then over time, over the last few years, we've kind of developed the Veterans Program. But I started here through an internship with the Veteran Conservation Corps, which is through the WDVA, and they have internships for veterans that want to get into any kind of like conservation or agricultural-focused work. And so GRUB is a host site for those interns, and so that's how I started here as an intern and help develop, the Veterans Program into what it is now, and I've been the manager of that program for a little over a year now.
That's awesome. And for those who are not familiar, tell us about GRUB, what it is, and where are we?
Yeah, GRUB, I know a lot of people at Evergreen probably are familiar with GRUB because we're really close, and we've had a relationship with Evergreen for many years, but we're just a small nonprofit here in West Olympia, right on Elliott and Harrison, so not far at all. And we have a small urban farm here, about 3.5 acre farm, where we do programming just around growing and eating food. So really all our programs are kind of focused on building people, food, and community. And so, yeah, we have a small farm. We grow food. We also have a farmhouse where we have like a big kitchen so we can prepare meals together, have community gatherings, events throughout the year. And we really focus on working with populations like disaffected youth or low-income families, veterans, Black and BIPOC community members, tribal communities, things like that. But yeah, we do a lot here. So we'll delve more into that, I'm sure. But
yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, going on your website, it's so full of all this information. So let's break it down. Let's begin with the community programs.
Yeah. So like I said, I started here in the garden program. So the GRUB Garden Project, GGP is how we refer to it. But it's one of the first programs we had here at GRUB. We've been around since 2001. So we've been here for a while. And from the beginning, we started building free backyard gardens for low to no income families around our area. We do about like a an hour radius around GRUB is how far we'll go out. And to date, we've built, over 3,000 gardens. We've kind of lost count, but something around that. Generally, we build between 35 to 60 gardens a year.
Wow. That's incredible. And so I'd like to go a little more into that. What does that all entail? Like, walk me through the process. Like, I would like to have a garden in my backyard, Jenna. How do we do it?
Yeah. So usually the applications to get a garden open up at the very beginning of the year, in like January 1st. And you can apply on our website. And about a month later is when we'll like close the application and then start reviewing the applications. And we usually, depending on our budget for the year and just our schedule for the year, we'll determine like how many gardens we're actually going to be able to build that year. And then select the gardeners. There are a few things to qualify. You have to be below a certain level of income. And then beyond that, you need to be within an hour of Grub. You need to either have permission from the landowner or be the landowner to be able to build like our raised garden beds. We do have an option for container gardens as well if you live like in an apartment or if you can't get permission from the landowner. And so once we've done the selection, we also have like an event here like where the selected gardeners can come and like learn more about the process, get scheduled for their garden, and then we'll just go out and start building gardens. We usually do it throughout the spring, so we kind of start in like March all the way through end of May, sometimes into June, depending on how many we're building. And then beyond that, throughout the year, we also have like workshops so that gardeners, both from that year and previous years, can like come and learn about what to do with the stuff they're growing, how to cook it, how to prepare it, how to can, or, you know, just basics on gardening and companion planting, things like that. So it really depends, and we try to make them very like appropriate for the season and appropriate for like what people are most interested in learning about. Throughout the year in our application, we're also asking people like, what do you want to learn about? What are you curious about? What would you want to see in a workshop? And so we kind of base those around that as well.
Cool. I have a question about the getting permission thing. Is that like an informal thing, or is it like, do you have to like have your landlord sign something being the owner?
Right. Pretty informal.
Okay.
We really just ask that the landlord at least reaches out to us and can even just give us verbal consent, like saying, I'm fine with so-and-so building the garden here.
Yeah. Okay.
Or send us an email. And then if the gardener doesn't feel comfortable, we can also help like reach out to the landowners as well and get that permission from them.
Oh, that's so good to know. That's so good to know. Yeah, yeah. There's so many different situations that people have with their landlords, property managers, whatever, and
yeah.
It can be a little,
It's interesting sometimes the resistance that you get, you know.
Really?
And I think sometimes people have like misconceptions of about what it means to have a garden on your land, or just think it's going to be an eyesore, or, you know, and so it's just a matter of talking to them and, you know, kind of going over like exactly what we're bringing and what we're providing. And
and so to those landlords, what would you say then?
I mean, it's just so much more than just a garden bed. You know, you're giving people like access to food, but it also builds community. Like, most of the time when we build a garden, like, you're going to get all the neighbors coming together as well, and people sharing food, and it brings families together, and they're beautiful, and I think they add value to any home. But of course, everybody has their own opinions.
I wonder if some property owners feel like it might lessen the property value or something like that. I would think it would raise the property value myself.
Yeah, I would think so. I think, you know, the biggest worry is, like, who's going to maintain it long-term?
Right.
You know.
Right. If this tenant is gone, what are the next people going to do with it? Is this now my responsibility?
Right.
You know, and what happens in those cases? Do you stay in touch with that situation? It's like a garden bed that y'all put in, and
we don't really offer to, like, dismantle them, you know, if a resident moves. So, yeah, it really is up to the property manager what they want to do with it. I think, in general, they usually leave them, and most people are happy that there's garden beds on their property, but, you know, it is up to them, ultimately, what they want to do with it.
All right. Right on. Let's see. Now there's the veterans program. That's your program. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So I'm a veteran. I'm a Navy veteran, and we have found just over the years, like, there's a huge need for veterans to, or just in really a big interest with veterans in gardening and growing food and being self-sustaining and also finding ways to like be of service to their community in a different way when they get out of the military. And a lot of veterans face a lot of challenges when they get out of the military. And so our main priority with the veterans program is to be there to support them as they're transitioning out, reintegrating with their community, looking for a new purpose or a new career path. And so we have two programs with the veterans program, primarily around supporting veterans that want to get into farming or beekeeping. And so we have a number of partners that we work with. We have a federal USDA grant that supports our Healing Through Hives program. And so our Healing Through Hives project supports veterans to start a beekeeping business or to learn about beekeeping. And so through that project, we're able to support veterans through like getting them certified as beginning all the way up to apprentice beekeepers. We've partnered with the Washington State Beekeepers Association, WASBA, and so they provide a lot of the training, and it's free for veterans, so we can reimburse folks for any of that training and get them signed up, get them registered, and then even if they want to keep going and go into like journeyman, we can help support them through that. And then we also have apiary sites that we've set up throughout the state because it's a Western Washington-wide project. So we can support these apiary sites that are kind of like community sites for veterans where they can go and get like hands-on experience working with bees before like investing in buying their own bees and equipment and everything, which can be daunting and expensive.
So. Yeah, and then what happens? Your bees die because you are still learning. And,
exactly.
Yeah. You know,
a lot of people just feel like they have to just jump right in and
yeah.
get bees right away, and then they have an unsuccessful year because there's a lot that goes into beekeeping successfully, especially around here in our very wet and cold winters. You know, it can be really hard to overwinter your bees here. And so that can be really disheartening, you know, especially after you've invested so much time and mm-hmm. money into it. So having opportunities to kind of get that experience first before investing in your own bees can be really, really helpful. And then those sites also function as like community space, so where folks can meet other beekeepers and also get connected with really experienced beekeepers. And so a big part of our projects is also helping to connect beginners with mentors, folks that are, you know, have been farming or beekeeping for years and have so much knowledge and, you know, being able to learn through their experience instead of having to make all your own mistakes, you know, can be a lifesaver for a lot of people. So, yeah, that's kind of the gist of our projects. So, the Healing Through Hives one is around beekeeping, and then our Shepherd's Project is just agriculture-wide. So if there's a veteran that just wants to start a farm or just learn about farming, they can reach out to us, and we kind of work with them around their goals, their interests, help connect them with resources and education, whatever it is they're looking for, and mentorship. And just kind of help them along that path.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm Rainmaker, and you are listening to Resource Report. After a brief message, we will be back to hear more from Jenna Kemp, Veterans Program Manager at GRUB.
You can support youth programming and enjoy a summer of fresh organic produce through Grub's Cultivator CSA. Full and half-summer shares are available now, as well as 7-week-long fall shares. Your box would include veggies, fruits, herbs, and flowers. You can contact Garden Raised Bounty or Grub to sign up or request more information by calling 360-753-5522 or emailing farm@goodgrub.org.
Welcome back to Resource Report. Let's return to my interview with Jenna Kemp, Veterans Program Manager at Grub.
I had been on this tour with you, and it was the Veterans V tour, and there was something mentioned about V training workshops coming up in May. We are now in May. Yep. What's up with that?
Yeah, so all of our apiary sites also host workshops throughout the year. So these are opportunities for veterans, and most of them are also open to other community members, but they're free for veterans, where they can, get kind of focused education around a certain skill or a certain part of beekeeping. So we have an apiary site here at Grub mm-hmm. on our farm. So we just released our workshop schedule for the year, starting in May all the way up to through November, monthly every third Sunday of every month. We'll have a beekeeping workshop. So the very first one will be May 17th, and we're going to be talking about just different types of hives, different types of beekeeping, how to set up your equipment, your supplies, what you need, what a hive consists of, things like that. So very basic to start the year off. And then, we have, workshops throughout the year that, are seasonal, that make sense during that time of year. So,
okay. And and where do we find out about those?
They are on our website, we post them on our social media.
The calendar.
On our calendar. Yeah. They should be all over the place.
Okay.
And people can always reach out directly to us. So the Veterans Program is managed by me, and then we also have a Veteran Projects Coordinator who's the other half of our team, Alex, and you can reach out to either of us, and we're just jenna@goodgrub.org and alex@goodgrub.org.
Awesome. You mentioned that the bee training program was free for veterans. What is it for other community members?
We haven't really figured that out yet.
Okay.
Probably a sliding scale.
Sliding scale?
Yeah.
Cool.
Payment system.
Okay. And so we just need to stay on top of looking out for that information to be posted.
Yeah, it'll be on our website.
Cool. Let's see. And then we have the Growing Home Collective.
Yeah, the Growing Home Collective is one of our newer programs here at Grub. It's a Black community affinity group. They meet monthly here at Grub, and it's really focused on just creating a space for Black community members to get together to celebrate Black culture and traditions. They grow food together. They make and share meals together here at the Grub kitchen. They do kind of field trips out in the community, learning about history, learning about cultural things, it's just a way to celebrate their heritage, their culture together in a really safe environment. It's multi-generational, it's open to all ages, and they do a lot of really awesome events throughout the year. The biggest one is probably our Juneteenth celebration, and that's actually one of the few events they do that's open to the public. It's open to anybody. It'll be here at Grub on June 19th, and this is, I think, the third annual Juneteenth we'll have here, and they're always just incredible.
That's awesome. That's cool. And then support for educators.
We actually have a lot of resources that we've developed over the years to support educators, especially folks working with other marginalized youth, or youth in an outdoor setting or around connecting with the land, connecting with food, things like that. So we have one of our previous programs here was called the Wild Food and Medicines Program. They started here at Grub many years ago. They actually moved on from Grub just last year, but we still hold like the curriculum that they've developed, which is the 10 Gather and Grow curriculum here. And so we still use that curriculum and teach it and host workshops here around wild edible plants, medicinal plants, traditional teachings around native plants, things like that. And kind of like the social emotional aspect of connecting with the land and with the food around us and the plants around us. So we have a lot of those resources available to other educators that want to use that. They can find that here at Grub.
And this is a like more of an indigenous kind of...
Yeah, yeah. So while they were developing that curriculum, they partnered with a lot of indigenous like elders and educators, tribal communities, and like plant specialists to develop that, all the trainings that they provide, the curriculum. And so they provide education to other educators around how to like incorporate those teachings into their classrooms or their workshops, things like that.
And that's wonderful. I love it whenever I see, indigenous communities sharing knowledge. It's like, that's how the indigenous peoples are helping to heal the world. Mm-hmm. Is by like bringing the rest of us in to that understanding and trying to change people's understandings of how we work with the land, that we're not separate, we're part of it.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of the trainings kind of focus on that and building a personal relationship with the land that's really respectful. And we consulted. I know the Wild Food and Medicines team consulted with, Native elders and Native tribal communities to make sure, like, they were only sharing, what was appropriate to share as well. So,
yes.
There's a lot of traditional knowledge that they don't want to share. And
right.
So we were also very respectful of, like, this is stuff that we have consent to share with the broader community as well. And, they still have their sacred, knowledge that they keep a little closer to their communities. But
they keep it safe.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. They should keep it safe.
Yeah.
Not all of us.
Right. Yeah.
Well, non-Indigenous people can handle that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the Wild Food and Medicines team, they moved on. They're now with another group called Tahoma Peak Solutions.
Mm-hmm.
And so they still provide these trainings as well throughout the state. But they also do come to Grub occasionally and offer workshops here as well. In fact, we just had one last week. Yeah, so we still have a partnership with them, which is really wonderful. And then those trainings are incredible. If you ever have a chance to take some, I recommend it.
I've taken
a few, yeah.
Cool. Let's see. And then we've got the youth programs, Career Pathways.
Yeah, so youth programs is another one of our really foundational programs here at Grub. At the very beginning, our focus was working with young people, specifically youth that, might have barriers to success or who aren't thriving in a traditional school system or have dropped out of school or, you name it. And are just looking for like an alternative environment to learn and to grow and learn skills, build relationships, things like that. And so it's changed a lot over the years. This year we have partnered with Pack Mountain, and we are mostly providing like career support for youth. So between like the ages of 16 and to 24, and especially youth experiencing barriers to success, and we help them either like access paid work experiences, which can be at Grub or with other partners in the community, And then just we help them with like career development. So we'll work with them one-on-one to like work on their resumes or build up their build a cover letter or interview skills, things like that, to just help them along the path to like meeting their career goals or even helping them find their career goals. And then if they choose to get that paid work experience here at the Grub, they can work out on the farm and learn about growing food, learn other really awesome skills about like working with other people and, you know, things that can translate into another career that they're interested in. Yeah, that's mainly it.
But, what are the age ranges in general for the youth programs? Do you have younger kids?
This year, for the Pack Mountain work that we're doing, that is for between 16 to 24.
Okay.
So, yeah, younger adults almost. But we prioritize working with youth who either like left high school before they graduated or have disability or are low income or mm-hmm. have faced homelessness or have been or are currently in like the foster care system. Mm. Those are primarily the youth that we work with here. Mm.
Do you work with any disabled or, you know, like if you're in school but it wasn't working out, so you're homeschooling and, you know, you have like kind of a learning disability kind mm-hmm. of thing, processing issues, anything like that? Do you work with that?
Yeah, I think that absolutely would qualify. Yeah.
Cool. Good to know. And then that's the career pathways, the Grounded program.
So Grounded is, we're not doing Grounded this year, but in the past few years, that was another program essentially working with youth on the farm.
Okay.
Just a different way that we were doing that. Yeah.
Okay. That's still on the website.
Yeah. With the Thurston County school district.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not right now though.
Not this year.
Okay.
No, but hopefully it might come back.
Oh, that's why it's still on the website. Cause you're hoping it'll come back.
Probably.
Good. Yeah. Okay. Have food access education.
Yeah, so as I mentioned, like in addition to like the backyard gardens, we also provide workshops throughout the year, education throughout the year, for like our garden recipients and other community members to learn about gardening, about food, you know, cooking, things like that.
And is that like an organized group activity kind of thing, or is that a one-on-one type of thing with like individual families or people?
Those are usually in a group. They're like group workshops.
Okay.
They're monthly. But our garden project does provide like one-on-one support as well. So say you got a garden this year and if you're having issues with, like, bunnies keep eating all my lettuce, you know, you can call the garden project coordinator and say, like, do you have any advice around this? And, you know, if we don't have the answers, we'll find somebody who can help support, you with that. So that's something we offer as well throughout the year, that we're always available.
If somebody did not receive a garden bed from you guys,
mm-hmm.
But like randomly issues growing Brussels sprouts or something, you know, people just can call you and say, hey, do you have any advice on how I can grow my Brussels sprouts better?
People do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would say we're not gardening experts mm-hmm. either. You know, we offer these workshops and things like that, but none of us are like master gardeners.
Okay.
Sometimes we'll partner with, you know, master gardeners that will come and also give workshops or help with that aspect. But you know, yeah, people can always call. You never know, but there are probably better resources out there as well if you want more like expertise advice around gardening.
Oh, yep, you have a community seed shed.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
Yeah. So right next to our farm gate, we have a little seed shed. We've had it for many, many years. We get boxes and boxes of seeds donated to us every year from either like big box stores like Lowe's, Home Depot, some of the smaller companies like Hume Seeds donates a ton of seeds to us. Basically, you know, a lot of these stores are not able to sell seeds past the first year, even though they're still perfectly good and viable. And so, you know, they would prefer to at least donate them. We keep it, you know, nice and stocked, organized. We like sort all the seeds every spring and restock our shed. And yeah, that seed shed is open to the public 24/7. You know, the Grub Farm will be closed, but the seed shed is always open. So people can stop by anytime.
Is there like maybe a donation box if you want
there
to
leave
is a
little donation
little
box.
Slip a dollar bill in there or something?
Or if you have a ton of seeds that you're not going to use, you can also donate those.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, good to know.
Mm-hmm.
The market stand, you'll have a market stand. Is that the farmer's market?
No, so we actually do a little market stand right here at Grub on the corner of Elliott and Bing, which is our little side street here. And we'll set up a little market stand most years. And this year we are still, I think, planning on it, although I don't think the details have been worked out quite yet exactly when or what. The big thing this year and the big change is that we're actually planning on giving almost all our food away this year instead of selling it. So most of our food, flour, everything will be available for free to the community.
That's awesome. The free resources list, I looked at that free resources list. It looks pretty good. Talk about that.
Yeah, a lot of those are based on the 10 Gather Grow curriculum that I talked about earlier. So there are some resources developed through that that are available for free on our website.
Mm-hmm.
Most of those resources are around, are for like other educators essentially that want to use some of the educational tools that we use here at Grub. Yeah, so there's like the Wild Food and Medicines, the curriculum portal is
Okay, so on that resource list, there is a link to that Wild Foods and Medicines. Cool.
Yeah, and then there's also like tools around like Youth Connection Toolkit, so how we connect and work with youth here at Grub. Some of like the immune and respiratory herb, like, you know, guidance on how to teach some of those things.
The information about the seed shed is there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. So tell me about your news and events, where and how people can keep up with what's going on at Grub. You have a blog, a newsletter, a calendar, upcoming events.
Yeah, there's so many ways.
to
learn
like
about what's going on at Grub.
Yeah,
I would say obviously the best way to keep up to date with what we have going on is our website. So we have our upcoming events page on there that will have all our upcoming workshops and events and things on there. But we also have like a calendar on the website so you can see it more like throughout the year. We also have a newsletter and a blog on the website. You can sign up for our newsletter through our website, and that's a monthly e-news that goes out.
What's the difference between the newsletter and the blog?
The newsletter is probably more up-to-date and more regular. It's every month, whereas the blog is just whenever we decide to make a blog post, so it's not on any kind of schedule.
Okay.
They both have different information on them. Yeah, the blog is more about like highlighting some, you know, an event or highlighting a story, you know, of a success story or something like that. So that's more of a way to kind of see like the outcomes of what we do here at Grub. Newsletters is really more to see like what we have going on month to month.
Like a shout out to the community, what's coming up next,
kind of. Or to celebrate, you know, a board member, or, you know, highlight someone who's been a great, you know, supporter or amazing community member or something like that.
Okay.
And then we also have social media pages. So we have Facebook pages, we have Instagram.
Okay.
Those are also great ways to stay in touch with what's going on here at Grub.
Do people ever reach out to y'all on Facebook or Instagram, like a message or a post?
Yeah. People either can comment on our posts or send us messages through social media, ask us questions.
Cool. And then you have farm tours. I've been on a couple of farm tours, but tell me about the farm tours and what do people need to know about visiting Grub?
So Grub is open to the public pretty much Monday through Friday, 10 to 4 every day. So people can always drop by. If you're curious about Grub, you can just drop by. But if you want like a more structured like farm tour, or to learn like more about a specific program, I would say reach out. If you're interested in a specific program, reach out directly to that the contact person on the website to get that information. For farm tours, we do those. We have our Wednesdays on the farm here, and those are every third Wednesday throughout the summer. And those are great times to come just drop by Grub. Usually they're in the evening, so between like 4 and 7, and you can come and drop by. They'll be doing farm tours here. Usually we'll have like a workshop or something going on that's open to the community on those days as well. And more like activities, it's more structured. So those are great times to come by. You know, if you're just curious about learning more about Grub, the Wednesdays on the farm are great. We also just have our drop-in volunteer days here every Wednesday from 4 to 7. And all the way through September. And those are times that it's like no barrier, so anybody can just stop by if you're interested, can get your hands dirty, work out on the farm, and learn a little bit more about Grub and meet the community here as well.
Cool. I wonder, do you work with homeless people at all? I mean, it seems like this would be a great resource.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we're open and accessible to anyone. We are on the bus line, so we're accessible if you don't have a car. I think bus number 41.
Okay.
We have a bus stop just like a block down, or right on the corner. And we also, in addition to like the backyard gardens that we build, we also do support community gardens and build community garden spaces. So like last year, we actually built community gardens at the tiny home villages downtown. So three of them. That's a way to kind of support that community that are like getting out of that, you know, homelessness, or wanting to still grow food and build that community.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Yeah, and they do workshops there throughout the year.
Cool.
But yeah, anyone is welcome here, pretty much.
That's lovely. That's lovely. Some people have companion animals. Mm-hmm. Yeah, are they welcome service animals or
like we have
emotional support or
We have a form that you can fill out when you get here. So if you do want to bring a companion animal on site, we just ask that you would fill out that form and submit it, and then you should be fine to bring your companion animal with you.
I know on the website you ask that people respect that this is a drug-free environment, you know, but is it like, do you have to, if you're going to come and work here or volunteer here, is there like a drug test or anything like that?
No, not at all. There's no drug test. For beyond the drop-in volunteer time, so that's a no-barrier volunteer opportunity. Mm-hmm. Some of our other volunteer opportunities, like we do require a background check. Mm-hmm. And so that's a more like formal way of volunteering. Mm-hmm. We have an application on our website if you wanted to become a volunteer beyond those mm-hmm. drop-in hours. But that's really the only requirement.
Mm. And some people have like medical cannabis needs, you know, for anxiety or pain, mm-hmm. things like that. And so they're not using recreationally. How would that fit in this scope?
Yeah, so we don't really, we're not going to drug test or anything like that. It's more about, like, using on our site.
Okay.
Primarily because we have young mm-hmm. people here on site. And so we do require that there's no drug use happening on site while you're here.
Okay.
But beyond that, what you do in your home or, yeah, is...
So the online shop, the online store, and the bouquet shares, we've talked about the market stand, but talk about the online shop there.
Yeah, we have a small online store on our website. It's not a ton on there right now, but there are a few things that we kind of sell all the time, some resources like our gardening guide, yeah, some of the, like, wild food and medicines, like, books and educational tools are on there. The plant teaching book, which is an amazing resource. Yeah, like, toolkits, educational material. That's primarily what's on our online store. And then, like, we have a manual if you wanted to start your own garden building project. We teach about like how we build our gardens and the process that we go through.
Are those your publications or those books by others that you sell?
Those are ours.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Cool. And that's the only place to find those.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. The garden project stuff is, I think, Wild Food and Medicines, they sell their materials through their own website as well.
And
probably in other stores.
And what are bouquet shares?
So for the past few years, instead of doing a produce CSA at the farm, we do bouquet shares. And so folks have been able to buy a share and get a weekly bouquet throughout the summer, a flower bouquet. And so that's been...
Oh, it's like buying into something. So when we say share, we're talking the financial kind of term of share rather than we're, you know, passing bouquets around to each other.
So that refers to the CSA, so Community Supported Agriculture. So anybody that's not familiar with that, it's basically any, like, small local farm. Most of them will have a CSA that you can purchase, and they call it a farm share. And it's you purchase them early on in the season, and then you'll get, you know, either weekly or bi-weekly, you know, a share of the produce that's been harvested throughout the summer. And it's really based on just what they happen to be harvesting or have growing. So it changes throughout the season.
That kind of makes me think of, I get these ads in my mailbox. It's a food box thing.
And yeah.
You sign up for this subscription and you get a box of food delivered.
That's essentially what it is. It's a subscription.
Okay.
Yeah, and so we were doing that for several years on our farm, the produce CSAs. But we found that it actually was just a lot of pressure, especially on the youth that were working on the farm. We really want this space to be more like an educational space. And so we decided to stop doing the produce CSA, but we still, we instead started the bouquet CSA. And so people could sign up for that and get a bouquet every week in the summer. So they're beautiful. There's usually one or two of the youth or the farm crew that like make that kind of their passion project. And they learn about how to make beautiful bouquets, flower arrangements, and they, harvest the flowers, arrange them, and we'll have them ready for pickup weekly. People can come and get them. They're really beautiful. We grow great flowers here at Grub. So I don't know if it's been decided if that will still be available this year or not. We're a little late in the season kind of now. We just hired a new farm manager here, so we're a little behind in the season this year. We really need help on the farm. But it might be. So, yeah, keep an eye out if you look at our website or get our newsletter, if those become available.
Speaking of needing some help here at Grub, talk about how people can get involved, volunteering, having a job, donating.
Yeah, there's tons of ways. Obviously, volunteering is a super important aspect of how we engage with the community here. Like I said, we have those volunteer drop-in days every Wednesday from 4 to 7 throughout the summer. That's a great way if you're just curious. It's no barrier. You can just drop in, stay as long as you want, get a feel for the farm.
What are some things that volunteers can do, like specifically?
Usually I think every week there's, kind of two or three tasks that, are most important for that week that folks can choose from. But yeah, there's always weeding. That never ends. Always weeding tasks. Often might need help like sorting seeds or seeding or planting starts or harvesting when we get to that point. And then sometimes we'll have bigger projects like preparing a site for like a shed, or we had a huge like volunteer group that came out and helped us build a trail like throughout the farm, like a nice paved trail to make it more accessible. So throughout the year we usually have like projects like that to kind of make the farm more accessible or just beautify it, or so
managing the compost.
Yeah, managing the compost is a big one too. We have a really awesome composting site here. And then in addition to that, we, like I said, we have our volunteer application on our website, so that if you want to do something more specific, like we also rely on volunteers to help with like a lot of our events, or even in the farmhouse, like doing admin work or helping with like our computers, or whatever skills people have, like there's always a way that you can fit into Grub. We have folks that are amazing cooks and want to prepare a meal for an event here or for the youth when they're here. So there's just a million ways that you could get involved at Grub.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Can you explain to me more about the accessibility you mentioned putting in a path?
Yeah, we've been working over the years to make Grub more accessible for folks. We had an amazing group of volunteers come and build like a pathway throughout the farm. So even folks like using a wheelchair or some could easily access different parts of the farm. And we built like a ramp to get up into the farmhouse last year. So those have been really awesome to, you know, give people easier access to us. And we really try to accommodate people here as well. So if you have a specific need, like, let us know and we will find ways to accommodate you.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
That's good to know. Yeah.
We want to make it as accessible as possible.
Awesome.
And if you see that things are missing, you know, we want to hear about that as well.
Thank you. And what jobs are currently available?
I don't think we have any openings currently.
Okay. Yeah. Just need a lot of volunteers right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And then how can people donate? And what can they donate?
Yeah. We accept all kinds of donations. Our website is probably the best way to donate. So yeah, money. Right now we're actually having a big auction that's opening on the 9th and goes through the 16th. It's kind of the biggest auction of the year to help us fundraise. And we get local artists and business owners and community members that donate all kinds of things, like awesome experiences or works of art or cool like toolkits or, you know, you name it, you can find pretty much anything on there. And
donating cool experiences.
Yeah. Like one of the things I saw was donated this year was like a kayaking trip.
Oh
yeah.
Wow.
On the Sound there. You know, stays at like a dome house out in Hoodsport.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So things like that are available. I think one of the things we're going to offer this year is also like a group dinner at Grub that was prepared by the Grub staff. And that will work with you to plan and schedule, and we'll help like facilitate the whole thing.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's lots of things like that. So that's opening this Friday.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
What are some upcoming events that you have right now?
We have so much coming up. Like I said, the auction, that's this coming week. We have a cool games training coming up just next week. So a big part of Grub, like when we have events or gatherings here, we like to play games. They're just great ways to like make people feel like a little looser and, you know, ready to like interact more, engage more with each other. It's a great way to get to know each other. And so we host a games training every year for like educators or people that work in other nonprofits or in organizations and want to incorporate games into their work. We kind of teach how we incorporate games here at Grub.
That's cool.
It's really fun.
It is.
So that's coming up. That's next Friday. Other big events that we have coming up, the Wednesdays on the Farms are starting now, or pretty soon. Like I said, the third Wednesday of every month throughout the summer. And then we have our Juneteenth event, which is on Juneteenth, on the 19th of June. In the summer, in July, we'll have our Carnival event, which is an annual event we have here. It's literally just a ball of laughs. Like, it's just, we have like performers come and we'll have food and face painting, and it's more geared for like families.
Kind of like a little fair.
Yeah, it's like a little mini fair right here at the Grub Farm.
Oh, cool.
So that's really fun. And then our big kind of fundraising event in the fall is our soiree, our harvest soiree that's in September 9th this year. And those always sell out early, so if you're interested. But we always have an amazing chef that comes and prepares a delicious meal with food from the farm, usually. And yeah, it's kind of our fancy dinner of the year, event of the year. So those are the big ones. But yeah, looking on our website, there's
and the bee trainings are coming up on May 17th, you said?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
The third Sundays of every month and to all the way up to November.
Wow. Cool. Is there anything else you would like to share?
Really just we'd love to have people come and learn more about Grub from us. You know, there's no better way to learn about Grub than just come and see it for yourself. Check us out, meet us, see the farmhouse, see the farm, get your hands dirty, you know, get some food, get some seeds, or eat a raspberry from a raspberry patch, you know. So, yeah, just reach out, drop by. People are always welcome. Yeah. And awesome. We just love to see people here. That's the most important thing. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Jenna.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
I really enjoyed meeting with Jenna and going over all the things to do with Grub. To get involved, visit www.goodgrub.org and you can sign up for the newsletter. You can also call 360-753-5522 or drop by 2016 Elliott Avenue Northwest, located in Westside Olympia. That's it for today's resource report produced by Pathways to Agency. At Pathways to Agency, we are driven by the belief that everyone should have the tools and support to achieve their goals and thrive in their communities. Our mission is to bridge the gaps in understanding, accessibility, and trust by connecting individuals to resources and sharing information and processes that can lead to personal and community growth. Resource Report offers information about existing and emerging nonprofits and resource organizations. Find out more at pathwaystoagency.org. You can also find our shows archived indefinitely on rss.com/podcasts/resource-report.